Lord, we give you the praise and we give you the glory. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we ask that even God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness will shine in our hearts through his word this morning. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. And we raise the name of Jesus, powerful over every name, a banner over us that is God's love for us, God's marvelous kindness towards us in the name of Jesus, that he has given us that name to use for our victory. Thank you, Father. I pray for everyone that's in the room and those coming in and anyone that you want them to be in here. Let them be blown here by this breeze of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to talk about times of refreshing. I did this lesson, you know, or preaching. I'm going to preach today, not teach, in the church a few months ago. And I want to just pray for everyone that's here today. Let me say a few things. You know, the times of refreshing, that comes from the presence of the Lord. Our leader of scripture is Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. And it says that, look, the coming times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And that's, you know, right away that tells you that if you know how to engage in God's presence, you can actually have times of refreshing. I'm going to talk a little bit about what refreshing means and what times of refreshing means, because the second message that I preached this year at our church also had refreshing in it. In fact, the Lord gave me four words, you know, as a follow-up to the quantum leap year, and they were refreshing, revival, restoration, and recovery. I talked about that a week or so ago at the church. And when we did a review on it yesterday, again at the church, and that's when it struck me that I needed to come here and pray the refreshing over everyone that will be. And since that time, since yesterday morning, I've been thinking about it, praying about it in my heart. The Lord, you know, and the Lord made me realize that, look, you know, every time God promises something, some people that must, you know, arise and be praying that promise down. We can't just fold our arms and sit back, relax. That's not how it works. You know, so, you know, I take the challenge this morning. Come on in here and pray times of refreshing to everyone's lives that will be here today. But before we get there, you know, let's talk about, you know, what this is all about. First, there is the promise. Remember, we just finished the series on faith and so forth. You know, and some will actually get the how that works and run with it, and it will transform their lives. You know, others, maybe they just listen to it and don't do anything about it. You know, and, you know, well, maybe not so much. You know, so everything that God's bringing our way requires some work on our part. You know, faith requires some work on your part. Otherwise, it's dead, you know, and we have to do some things and so forth. Now, the promise is in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. And remember, it's not a promise unless you know what was promised. So, you know, Peter was speaking to them after they did this great miracle. He and John of healing somebody, you know, the man who was crippled, you know, on their way to the prayer hour and so on. You know, so while everybody gathered around wondering what was done and so forth, Peter began to preach, you know, and then he told them, you know, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know, so, you know, the presence of the Lord is what generates times of refreshing. Now, if we can figure out a way to get in that presence and stay there, you can experience refreshing all the time. You know. But what is refreshing? Well, in the context of what I'm going to do in the room here today, by the grace of God, refreshing will be found in Job chapter 14. This is how we're going to do this refreshing thing here today. In Job chapter 14, verses 7 through about 9, this is what refreshing looks like to me today. Among other things, I'll call out a few other things in a minute. But in Job chapter 14, we're told that there is hope of a tree if it be cut down. So look at the things. This tree is cut down, you know, that it can sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth. Now, this tree, dead, rotting. The stalk thereof die in the ground. Well, this tree, but yet, this tree can experience a refreshing. Yet through the scent of water, which is like the message that I'm bringing today, will cause that tree to bud again. Hallelujah. And bring forth boughs like plant. You know, so that's what refreshing looks like today. And I'll call out a few areas of prayer in a few minutes. You know, but in order for us to have refreshing when things are dry, dried up like this, you know, what must we do? Well, let's look at a little story just quickly of the encounter of Moses with a pillar of fire and the Lord speaking to him out of that pillar of fire in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. And the Lord was telling him what the Lord intended to do. And he said, Lord, here's a secret. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. Now, the Lord has seen it. You know. And now I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, so, you know, there could have been a gap of many years. In fact, there were many years where these people were being tormented, pummeled down, you know, burdened and so forth, you know, turned around, their lives made them become slaves, hard labor and everything, you know, and they were just, many of them just resigned into that thing. You know, that's just their, you know, their lot or their, you know, plight, you know, and so forth, you know, that you just took it like that for years. In fact, it went on for 400 years. But finally, they began to cry unto the Lord. And when they began to cry unto the Lord, look at the way the Lord put it. I've seen their affliction and I've heard their cry. He didn't put the cry before the affliction. The affliction was first. The people didn't cry out to the Lord. They took it. They were just there. The devil, you know, had a field day with their lives. The enemy tormented them, pummeled them, made them slaves. They had taskmasters over them. They became bondmen and so on. For years, for centuries. And finally, when they said enough, and they began to cry out to God, then God said, now I've heard their cry. By reason of their affliction through their taskmasters, I'm come down to deliver them at the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up to a land, a good land and a large, a land that's flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites, you know, and so forth. And then the Lord said, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. Now that is so critical. That's what we must do. When you need a time of refreshing, you need to cry out to the Lord. You know, don't just resign mentally or consciously or unconsciously into the state, you know, where you are being depressed, tormented, oppressed, you know, burdened or whatever. And we got to cry out to the Lord. Glory to God. You know, so. And what does that cry out look like? Here is the way the psalmist brought it out. In Psalm 102, this is a prayer of somebody that is depressed, laden, heavy burden, and so forth. And they're just tormented and all that. You know, and, you know, they're crying out, you know. This is how they must cry out. But this is what their current plight looks like. In Psalm 102, he says, well, my days are consumed like smoke. Psalm 102, verse 3. My bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten. Well, you know, many people resemble that. And I'm withered like the grass, so that I forget to even eat my bread. Now, this person is depressed. You know, by the reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like an owl in the desert. I watch, and I'm as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Pelican all by yourself in the wilderness. Owl all by yourself in the desert. Sparrow all by yourself on the housetop. Even your enemies. You say, my enemies reproach me all the day long. And they that are mad against me, they are sworn against me. I have eaten ashes like bread. Mingled my drink with weeping. You know, and so on and so forth. See, because of thy indignation and thy wrath. But thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. This is the yo-yo kind of life. You're up one day, down the next day. And down more times, actually. Down and down and down. Staying down many more days than actually the days that they are up. You know. And well, my days are like a shadow that declineth. And I am withered like the grass. I mean, this is a deplorable situation. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the time of refreshing, ha, Makota Reba Salia, has come. Now, so the time of refreshing, you know, when you feel, if you resemble any of these things, you know, then let's call forth a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Now, it's the presence of the Lord that makes the difference. You know, and so we must learn, when God brings that refreshing, you must learn to stay in that presence. That's where that refreshing comes from. In the presence of the Lord is where refreshing comes from. Fullness of joy, it comes from that presence. You know, but we got to cry out to the Lord. Glory to God. Now, let's look at some of these things. You know, there is an injustice, or so to speak, travesty of justice, if I can call it that, that's going on. You know, and it's described by the writer, the preacher, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 7. And God needs to do something about this. You know, and this is a great evil that this man said he has seen. You know, and I see too that this may be there. I have seen servants upon horses. You know, servants. I mean, people that should be servants, they are on horses. And princes walking like servants upon the earth. Now, the real princes that are the children of the Lord, the sons of God, they are down when the sinners are up. You know, I've seen them upon horses. I've seen princes instead walking as servants upon the earth. Now, that's a travesty. You know, can you imagine, you know, somebody that should be up? I mean, when there is a motorcade and it should be the president that's in, you know, the beast or the thing, you know, the thing that's... He's outside, you know, the Secret Service are sitting inside. Can you imagine? And the president is walking on foot and the Secret Service sits inside the limo. No, that's not how it works. But that's how it is now. You know, because the children of God are on the downside. That's exactly how Israel was. They were on the downside. They were slaves. They were bondsmen. They were in captivity. There was yoke on their head, yoke around their necks. And their enemies, who should have been their servants, actually were their taskmasters. You know, and it's a travesty. And this must be reversed. Hallelujah. Now, how are we going to do it? Well, by the anointing, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord, you know. And I'm going to give you a prophetic word that the Lord gave me some time ago when I delivered this message to the church. I went back and listened to it actually yesterday. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember that. And then he gave me something else too. And I'm going to tell you here today. Now, but here are the things that we must deal with right now, right here, today. And like I said, I'm going to just speak for a few minutes and I'm going to pray for everyone. I'm going to deal with the oppression and the heavy burdens. You know, we dealt with this when we did our consecration, a few weeks ago. But still, we need to deal with it again and again. Because when you need refreshing, you need refreshing from oppression. You need refreshing from heavy burdens. You need refreshing from sickness and disease. You need refreshing from excessive labor. That's right. And you need refreshing from stagnation and failures. So I don't come against these things right here, this today. I pray. The Lord say, pray. Pray. You know, prayer is the key. You know, even when God has said, I'm going to do this thing, we still must pray. You know, so Lord already told us what he's going to do this year in the quantum leap, but we must pray. And, you know, God has set some watchmen rising early and sending them, you know, to speak to the people and to pray for the people. And it's a privilege, you know, that God has given me to do that. You know, and I don't take it lightly, but, you know, everyone that's coming into these rooms and listening and being a part of this room, you know, we're in this thing together now. And God, you know, look, the Lord has a plan. That's right. He's got a plan. And this business of servants on horses, princes walking as servants upon the earth, enough of that already. Praise God. You know, so, you know, we're going to do something about that. Hallelujah. And the Lord wants me to come out here today and pray over everyone that's in the room. And by extension, you yourself can stand in the gap for someone else. You know, when I pray over you in the name of the Lord, whomsoever is part of your spirit during that prayer, well, by extension, they receive the same. It's just that simple. Praise the Lord. And God is going to. And, you know, I think every so often we need to pray. You know, Elijah said this multiple times. He had the promise of the sound of abundance, and promise of rain. And he already even heard it in the spirit. He heard the sound of the abundance of rain. You know, but he did not go up and eat and drink. He actually went up to pray. Why? Why do you need to pray when the Lord already said it's coming? Well, you got to pray. You got to pray it through. There are many reasons why. You know, because look, there are the princes of the air that will try to block that blessing. We saw it in the story of Daniel chapter 10. Then also, you know, there might be delays. If you don't pray, you know, things might be delayed. So we got to pray for God's zeal to hasten it. The zeal of the Lord will perform it. Anything that God promises, we got to pray it through. We're believing it. We're confessing it just like we taught in that series. But here is the other angle. We've got to come behind that thing with prayer. That's right. And Jesus wasn't just, Jesus was confessing that, destroy this temple and in 3 days I raise it again. He was doing that. But, ladies and gentlemen, he was praying. He was really praying. And one time he prayed so much that sweat was coming out of his brows like blood. That's right. So, he wasn't just coasting along just because he already knew the end, even from the beginning. He didn't coast along. In fact, he prayed like nobody else prayed. And so that tells us that, look, early in the morning, he'd be up. The disciples would be looking for him. He's already in some mountain praying. And he always praying, always praying, always praying. Finally, in his darkest hour, when he had to pray through, his mind, his soul was in anguish, and he had to pray through that. But at the end, the Father, that will be done. And he was praying, not just for himself, praying for every one of us here. Because it was like we were the pearl of great price. And he's going to go for it. And he went for it. And he got it. That's why we're here today. Praise the Lord. And now, we must also learn how to pray. If you know how to pray, you get more victories. The lessons of faith that we taught, just concluded a couple days ago, prayer goes behind that. As you are declaring it, sometimes your declaration can also be a form of prayer. But you got to pray. You got to pray. Praise the Lord. So, we're going to deal with these heavy burdens. We need refreshing. The Lord promised that already. I've mentioned this multiple times. The tactic that Pharaoh used, in case you've never heard it, it was like, and you can read it in Exodus chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. He said, look, these people are idle. They are idle. They have too much time on their hands. That's why they are saying we're going to go worship the Lord. So what we're going to do is increase their burdens. Let there be more heavy burdens laid in upon them so that they will not have time. And the devil is still using that same tactic today. Anytime that there's more stuff laid in upon you that's trying to choke out your prayer life, well, that's the same plan. you got to pay more bills, do more stuff, and all these things, so you can have less and less time to worship the Lord. That's what Pharaoh said. And the Lord said, look, I have set you free from all of that. In Leviticus chapter 26 and 13, God said, look, I don't want you to be bondmen. And I don't want you to be bowed down under these heavy burdens. I want you to go upright. Hallelujah. And excessive labor. Jesus, he said, look, in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, just laden with all kinds of things. Rise up early, stay up late, work 3, 4, 5 jobs, only to eat the bread of affliction and the bread of sorrows. Psalm 127 and verse 2. That's not really how, and we should be hardworking, and I'm all for that. But the ground being cursed that we have to sweat and sweat and sweat to make anything come out of, good, was a curse. And Jesus had broken that curse. Because the Bible says that cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. And did Jesus hang upon a tree? Well, absolutely. According to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. So you know, we don't need to be. Look, before the fall, the Lord prepared the garden. It wasn't Adam that made the garden. God made the garden already. You know, everything was there. You know, he just put Adam there to dress it. You know, now, so, but after the fall, Adam had to make his own gardens. You know, it was a reversal, you know, of everything. Instead of coming in and enjoying the bliss God had provided, now they had to sweat for it. You know, so, you know, we got to reverse all of that. You know, look, yes, you need to work and do all of these things, but you don't have to kill yourself to pay your bills. More so, you don't have to kill your prayer life or even your life. Sometimes people don't even have a life because they got to work 2-3 jobs. And when are you going to have a life if you got to do that? You know, there is no life to relax. There is no life to even enjoy the good of all your labor, which the Bible says is the gift of God. For a man to enjoy the good of all his labor is the gift of God. Well, it's not the gift of God if you're not enjoying it. You know, and you got to walk, because it's a lot of labor that the devil has to make us do, bills, heavy burdens. You know, sometimes also, you know, some people come into those situations because of lack of wisdom. Cover that in our wisdom series, but I'm not going there today. Today I'm just going to pray. Praise the Lord. Prayer is what I'm going to do today. Now, sicknesses and diseases, we need refreshing from those as well. These are all the things we need refreshing from. Times of refreshing. You know, we should not be dealing with sicknesses and diseases. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 15 tells us that the Lord said, "You will take all these things away from us." You know, we don't need to be burdened down with this. And if you are, then we've got to pray for a release. The Lord said, "I'll take away from thee all sickness," in Deuteronomy 7 and 15. "None of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest," you know all these diseases out there, you know, "they will not come upon you. So I will put none of these upon you. But I'll lay them upon your enemies." You know, so that's the word of the Lord. And excessive labor, Psalm 127 and verse 2. You know, "It is vain for you to rise up early, stay up late, only to eat the bread of sorrows, whereas servants are riding upon chariots and horses, and you have to be laboring hard on the ground." It's a travesty, and God needs to fix that for us. Praise the Lord. Stagnation and failures. This is another something that we need refreshing from. You've been in the same place long enough. You need a time of refreshing. The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and this one I want to read. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 5 to about 8. He said to them, you know, "You've stayed, you dwelt in this place long enough. Turn ye and take your journey." That's what the Lord said. Praise the Lord. "Because you have dwelt in this place long enough." Now, so I want you to consider what the Lord said to them. Look at verse 6 of Deuteronomy 1. "The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." In other words, you've been stagnant long enough. "There is now time for you to take your turn. Take your journey and go forward to the promised land." Hallelujah. Now, your promised land may not be the land beyond the Jordan. You know, It may not, you know, it may not be the land of the Canaanites, but it's whatever the Lord has promised you. And there's a quantum leap in store for you this year. But, you know, sometimes we're just in the same spot week after week, month after month, year after year. We need refreshing. We need a time of refreshing from those things. Praise the Lord. So, I am going to pray over everyone that's in the room. You know, since last night, I've actually been praying. Even if I was doing other things, I was praying. And I was saying, you know, everyone that's going to be in the room today, that the Lord is going to give you times of refreshing. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you times of refreshing. And here's what the Lord said. You know, the Lord said he's bringing a time of refreshing from the breeze of his spirit, and he will restore you to your rightful position. That's right. That was the word of the Lord, you know, that the Lord gave me when I first declared this message in the church a few months ago. And that's how actually it started. You know, one day I was just, I don't remember exactly what I was doing, maybe praying or something. And the Lord just said, give me that word, restore you and the people to their rightful positions. And one word was enough for me. Then I began to search in the spirit what all of that meant. And out of that came the refresh, times of refreshing message. And especially this Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 7. I said, yeah, I remember something like that in scripture. I remember it's Ecclesiastes 10. I went to look it up. I said, yeah. The rightful position is for the princes to be the one on the horses and on the chariots, not the other way around. And so the Lord is bringing times of refreshing in the breeze of his spirit. And he's bringing you a restoration. That's right. Restoration back to your rightful position. Praise the Lord. So that right now, I'm going to pray over everyone that's in the room. Now, all I want you to do is agree in prayer. You know, some people say, well, we prayed about that last week. No. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You might have prayed about it last week, or even yesterday, or even this morning. So what? You know, pray some more. Ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest, is what the scripture says, until it establish the thing. That's right. And what is your thing that the Lord needs to establish for you? You know, what is the time of refreshing that you need from the presence of the Lord? Well, you know, that's what we're going to pray about today. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. If you are part of the people and know how to pray and know how to watch, here's the word of the Lord unto you. Isaiah chapter 62, and everybody should be this way, really. Verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. Well, it's kind of like rising early and calling them to watch and to pray, or come into this room and so forth, which shall never hold their peace day and night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest till he establish that thing. In this case, it was Jerusalem, to make Jerusalem a praise, but it is whatever your thing is that the Lord needs to establish. Praise the Lord. So we're going to do it this morning. And I want to pray with everybody. I want to agree with you, and I want you to agree with me. It's so powerful. Remember, we covered find a promise. Well, here's a generic catch-all promise in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. It's a catch-all. You know, and I love this one. I use it all the time. Praise God. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree, that's it, right there, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Well, you agree on earth, it's done in heaven. You know, that's right. You agree on earth, it's done in heaven. It's done in heaven, then it comes back to the earth. It's like a full, you know, cycle. Glory to God. Now God, first, he speaks in the heaven. He says, it's time. I've seen the affliction of my people, and I heard their cry. And it's time for me to change their story and change their situation. Then he puts in the hearts of the watchmen, I begin to pray. And he puts in the hands, in the minds of hearts and people, some people to begin to declare the word of the Lord. And then some people get a hold of it. Faith begins to rise. Hope actually also begins to rise. And then the people begin to believe God. And everybody begins to step forward and believe God. And the next thing you know, you find someone that has some real faith. Now, never mind about anybody that doesn't believe anything. Just park them aside. But find someone that has some real faith. Get a hold of them. And two of you, my goodness, anything you shall ask in my name will be done. Of course, in the realm of his will. We already understand that. Now, so we found a promise and we're going to use it this morning. I want to pray for everybody. Everybody that's on the stage and everybody that's in the audience. That's right. I'm going to pray for everybody. One by one. And I want you also to pray for yourself. And also pray for others around you. That's right. That's how we do it. Pray for one another. Pray for yourself. You know. But first, pray for yourself. Praise God. Put on your oxygen mask first and then assist others. You know. So pray for yourself and then pray for others. But pray this morning, we will. Now, are you ready? Because I'm ready. I've been fired up since yesterday. I am ready. I couldn't wait to come on in here this morning, you know, and just turn loose, you know. And so right now it is the hour of prayer. Praise the Lord. Now, even if you are at work, you need to be a part of this. As long as you are in this room, you are here for a reason, you know. And so get the most out of it, whether you are at work, whether you are at school, wherever you are, as long as you are here, be a part of this, you know, because he said, look, sometimes the problem with my people is that they do not know the day of their visitation. He said, well, you know, they're stuck in the heaven. That's Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 7. The stock in the heaven. I know there are appointed times. Well, the turtle and the crane and so forth. They know there are times. The times of their refreshing. But oh no. People of the Lord, they don't know the day of and time of their refreshing. But we do now. Praise God. You know, so let's not be, you know, like the ignoramus who doesn't know anything, because my people perish for lack of knowledge. But let's be like people who know and understand the times. Hallelujah. You know, we saw that the sons of Issachar, they understood the times and gave them an advantage. Now, let's pray. If you are here, well, as long as you are here, I should say, since you are here, not if, because you're already here. Since you are here, but here's the if. The if part is, if you need times of refreshing. I don't know who doesn't need it, but hey, some people might not. But hey, I need it. If you need times of refreshing, we're going to pray together right now. And as we are going to pray, I want you to join your spirit with those that you are standing for beside yourself. As long as it's in your spirit man right now, this prayer will cover them as well. Yeah, that's all you. You know, this the spirit realm, one day I will cover that for us. The spirit realm is a different realm that many of us don't even understand. In the spirit realm, you can actually be in more than one place at a time. People don't understand that. Yeah, that's how God's able to do it, you know. And but that's a subject for some other day. But right now, in the spirit realm, you can reach out and unite with anyone that you want this prayer to cover. And as we begin to say it and declare it, it will cover them as well. So here are the things that we are going to come against today for, you know, in order for the Lord to give you refreshing. Remember, he said, I'm bringing a breeze of my spirit to restore you to your rightful position. Now, that's his word. That's what he said. But to do it, we got to come against, you know, the heavy burdens, you know, the sicknesses and diseases, the excessive labor. I mean, we need refreshing from all these things, you know. And the stagnation, you've been in the same place long enough. It's time for you to, you know, move ahead. Praise the Lord. So those are the prayers. Now, we're going to prayers right now. Let's pray together. I want you, if you are in the audience, raise your hand if you need times of refreshing. I want you, if you are on stage and you need times of refreshing, put up the fire symbol. And as we're praying, if you need times of refreshing and you agree with us, just say amen in the chat room. You know. And then I'm asking the Lord to look at those who are obeying. Remember, you know, Jehoshaphat said, believe the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. You know, so as we call these things for today, if you believe, if you can only believe, and we agree together, you will receive times of refreshing. It's coming from the presence of the Lord. First, my prayer is going to be, Lord, teach us to dwell in thy presence. That's right. That's my first prayer. I'm praying, Lord, for everyone that's in this room today, that you will teach us how to dwell in your presence. Not going in and out, but to be in your presence. That's the first prayer today, because the times of refreshing, they come from the presence of the Lord. Now, Lord, I'm looking at those who are here today. I'm looking at hands that are raised. I'm looking at people in the audience. I'm going to pray for everybody that's here. If you are in here through this prayer, that means you are part of it, even if your hand wasn't raised. So, Lord, I'm looking up on stage. Thank you, Jesus. I see Joshua. Glory to God. I see Veronica. I see Lady Ebon. I see Olunife. As I call your name, you know, I already prayed for everybody last night. And I'm praying again. Just call your name this time around. I see Renita. And I see James. I see Grace, and I see Pearl, and I see Barakat, I see Elisha, I see Otitoju, I see Julia, I see Kolapo, I see Lola, and I see Maggie, I see Victor, I see Mary, and Chioma, and Raphael, and I see Hephzibah, you know, a.k.a. Alexis, and I see Charles, I see Ribia. I see Joseph, and I see Chelsea, I see Nkechi, and Tayo. I see Godwin, and I see Jane, I see Okay and Wisdom, I see Adewoye, and OB. That's right. And I see Osose and Danica. I see Heather. I see Jane. I see Selan. And I see Remy. So if I can see you, God sees you even more. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, you know, that everything is open and naked before the Lord. Everything, right? Praise the Lord. You know, so there is nothing that is not manifest in His sight. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So, Father, these names that I've called before you today. Now, I want you to put your amen in the chat room. All these people, Lord, that need refreshing, might be refreshing from excessive labor. You have to work too hard just to get ends to meet. Or you work so hard, but it comes to little. That's right. The Lord said, many have worked so hard, but it comes to little. You know, it came to little. You put in so much, but it comes to little. Why? That's a travesty. The Lord gives you rest. It's a vain for you to rise up early, stay up late, work all these jobs, and still, you can't make ends meet. The Lord gives you rest. I call forth a time of refreshing for those who are experiencing excessive labor. I have to walk, just to make ends meet. That's a curse. And we're no longer under the curse. You know, I call forth the dew of heaven upon such. Hallelujah. That the Lord will take a little that you do and make it much more than you can think. Glory to God. Because in His hands, a little one shall become, you know, a thousand. And a small one, a great nation. A little one, a little thing, two loaves and five fishes in His hands. He will multiply it to thousands. Hallelujah. Because He is the master. Glory to God. We don't have to kill ourselves. Just to make things meet. You know, your Father knows that you have need of these things. And it is His Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In Luke 12 and 32. And this kingdom, in His kingdom, blessings all around. Now, His name is at stake here. And I call the name of the Lord over everyone that's in this room today. As many of you as are called by the name of the Lord is duty bound. You know, His name is at stake. He's got to protect His reputation. Glory to God. You are called by the name of the Lord. You are the apple of His eye. He must protect that reputation. So now, Lord, look upon the afflictions of your people in diverse ways. Some are afflicted under heavy burdens that they have to do. They have to not only bear their own burden, bear the burdens of their families, bear the burdens of their extended families, bear this, bear that, and all of that. Those are burdens and heavy yokes. And Jesus said, trade your yoke for mine. Trade your burdens for mine. My burden is light, and my yoke is easy. Glory to God. And for everyone that is laden with sickness and disease. Now, it may be in your spirit, man. It may not be you, but you are uniting your spirit with somebody else right now that you're connected with. That's a burden. That's a yoke. And that's a something that you need refreshing from. I'm running from pillar to post, running to hospital. You know, Jesus said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from my infirmity on a day such as this? He said, woman, thou art loosed. Glory to God, because you don't need to be running. One woman had run to doctors 12 years. You know, all her living spent on doctors, and she was not even made any better, but rather grew worse, the scripture said. But she got a time of refreshing because she touched the hem of his garment. And for those who are in that situation today, now, yours may be some other thing, your mount that you have been on and no progress. And the Lord said, you've dwelt long enough in this mount. You've been in this place long enough. And, you know, you've tried and there's just no way. You can't seem to get ahead. That promotion is not coming, it seems. I mean, everything you've done, you know, just stuck, you know, in the same place. You know, stuck. You're not getting ahead. You may even be in business. We have entrepreneurs on this platform. But you're not getting ahead. Well, that's a travesty. Because I see servants that are getting ahead. You know, we see a lot of people getting ahead. Why not the children of God? Glory to God. Now, the secret to that is that our hearts must be in the right place. Hearts are not on these things. Our hearts are on the Lord. But these things are ours. Because the Lord said, I give unto you the kingdom. In fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 29, that I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father has appointed unto me. So look, ladies and gentlemen, I need to get whatever is in that kingdom. With joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. There's a lot of wells in that kingdom. Draw freely, saith the Lord. Glory to God. There's an abundance where that came from. Much more. You know, draw some more. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it, saith the Lord. Now, some people, you know, may be even under burdens of the, you know, scourge of the tongue. The psalmist said in Psalm 102 where we read, said, look, my days are like the shadow that declineth. My enemies reproach me all day long. You know, people, Hannah, you know, her adversary, which was the other woman in the house, reproached her all the day long, made fun of her because she couldn't have a child. Whatever it is, you know, even Sarah that gave her maid to Abraham, once that maid now got the child, she began to despise Sarah, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, whatever it is, whatever is going on, you may feel like a pelican, you know, in the wilderness. You may feel like an owl in the desert. You may feel like a sparrow on the housetop. You feel all alone. But the Lord said, no, you are not all alone. God will change that story because of times of refreshing. Now, I pray that beginning now, on this day, January 22nd, that's right, 2024, well, double two, somebody is going to receive a double blessing. That's right. For your trouble, you shall receive that double. Now, if you can believe it, all things are possible to him that believeth. The Lord says, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and be the joyful mother of children. Now, yours may be something that you've been praying over a child for, you know, one of your children or your children or something. I mean, you're just burdened. We covered many promises for children the other day. But the Lord said, times of refreshing are coming. And you know, some of us, we are in some bad situation because of some bad decision. Some bad thing we did. You know, some unadvisable thing that we did. Some error. Whatever it is. The Lord is going to be able to take even all of that and do something new. I pray the God of restoration. The Lord showed Jeremiah, he said, look, go down to the potter's house and I will show you my word. Jeremiah 18 verses 1 to 4. And when he got there, he saw the potter making clay. And as he made it, the clay was messed up. in his hand. So he made it again. A new lump as he pleased him. Now may the Lord give some of you here a Holy Ghost makeover. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, things may be messed up already. Maybe chaotic. But God, the Holy Spirit, he moved. You know, the Bible say, Holy Spirit, he moved upon the face of the deeps. He didn't like that chaos in the beginning. He didn't like things being out of order, void and chaotic. He moved upon the face of the deeps in Genesis 1 and 2. And he began to bring order out of that chaos. Now, God will move for you again in the breeze of his spirit. That's what he said. I'm going to move in the breeze of my spirit and I will restore you to your rightful position. That zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. Hallelujah. Now, this is not something that you will do. He will do it. And some of you also are languishing because of lack of strategy. You need strategy. Strategy. Now, the God of strategy give you wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Just like we covered yesterday. Glory to God. He'll give it to you. Praise God. Now, Lord give you strategy. Glory to God. He will seal the instruction in your heart. Give you the inspiration of the Almighty. You know, something that's going to give you an advantage. And they give you rapid result. Something that's going to catapult you. That's right. That's the word. Catapult you. This year. Glory to God. And look, it will not tarry. The Lord said, it will not tarry. So, Father, thank you for all your children that are here. As they are here, as we are believing God together, praise God. I see all the wonderful faces here. Now, the glory of the Lord is upon all these faces that I see here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm putting my hand over my screen. That's right. Ooh, my goodness. Something just felt like fire. I put my hand upon all these screens. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Lord, he can move in the spirit realm. He's not bound by time and space. One man figured it out. He said, look, you don't even have to come to my house. Stay right where you are and just say the word. The word will go and get it done. Glory to God. Now, I speak the word of God for times of refreshing into your life. Hallelujah. Now, what that means also is we must stay connected because it only comes from the presence of the Lord. We need to stay connected. We can't go in and out. We've been doing all that going in and out thing, you know, for so long. Enough of that already. Let's stay in his presence. Stay in his presence. Say, well, how do I do that? I got to walk. And so, yeah, you got to walk, but you can still be in his presence. Be in the spirit. That's right. You can do it. Practice it. Just be in the spirit. Be in the spirit. You know, just be in the spirit. Be in the spirit. I work. Be in the spirit when you're in the kitchen. Be in the spirit when you're in the bathroom. Be in the spirit when, look, the building where you go to fellowship, which we call the church wrongfully, is not any holier than your bathroom. If the presence of God is not there, it's just a building. What makes it holy is his presence. That's what the Lord revealed to Moses. He saw what he thought he saw on Mount Horeb was bush and dirt, lizards maybe, leaves and everything on the ground. But the Lord said, no, this is holy ground. That's right. Because once the presence of God comes upon it, it transforms it. 1 minute, it's bush, dirt, rubbish on the ground, maybe. But the moment that pillar of fire, that consuming fire that yet did not consume the leaves, comes upon its cleansing, God will change what once was rubbish, what once was dirt, what once was trash on the ground. In 1 minute, it was like that. And the next minute, It's called holy ground because the presence of the Lord came upon it. So you must stay connected to the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And say, Lord, how will I do that? Well, Holy Spirit will teach you. Holy Spirit is the teacher. You know, we need to stay plugged into the Holy Spirit. You know, make friends with the Holy Spirit. He will teach you a lot of things. You can't go through life and just be going on your own. Holy Spirit is the gift to the church, whom the world cannot receive. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. God never gave the Holy Spirit to the world. They can't receive it. Gave Jesus to the world. You know, God so loved the world that he gave them Jesus. So that once they believe, they will now come into the body of Christ. But while you are in the body, he gives you the Holy Spirit, which the world cannot receive. But that Holy Spirit gives you an advantage, an edge. He will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will take of mine and give it to you. I mean, Holy Spirit does all these things. Take advantage. Get close to the Holy Spirit. Stay connected. That's how you are in the Spirit. It doesn't mean that, you know, you are in the church all the time. You are speaking in tongues all the time. No, you can be doing anything and still be in the Spirit when you are connected. Jesus was always connected. Was always in the Spirit. John 8 and 29 says, look, I am not alone. My Father is always with me. That's right. Because I'm connected to him. Why? Because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's how you stay connected. And Lord, I pray for everyone that needs to have this understanding today. Teach each of us how to stay connected with your presence. But that's where the refreshing comes from. And I pray that refreshing over everyone that's in the room today. Glory to God. At the moment, one moment ago, before we started this prayer, your life might have been in chaos. There might have been burdens too heavy for you to bear. But the presence of the Lord coming upon you will change all of that and give you solutions. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, the Lord will fill your mouth with laughter. Glory to God. The Lord will give you a song of victory. The Lord will pull you out of the miry clay. The Lord will take an ease of those burdens. And the Lord said, don't put your neck under the yoke of the Egyptians anymore, because I have caused you to go upright. Leviticus 26 and 13, that you should not be bondmen. You know, don't be any of that anymore. Go upright. Stand up straight. Hallelujah. And move forward. You've been in this place long enough. I'm bringing the breeze of my spirit to change your story. That you will now be restored to your rightful position, not on foot, while princes, I mean, not you as a prince on foot, while servants are in the chariots. No, I'm bringing you to your rightful position, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Now, let's praise him. Come on, somebody praise the Lord.